Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody is having a wonderful Wednesday today. Lots of news stories as always, and we're actually having some nice weather today. A little bit of chemtrails in the sky, but it is what it is. Still a awesome day. And how are you doing today, Deb?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful, and I read a book last night. I won't even give you any type of name of the book because it was one of those weird books. But it had, I'd read, it was like 350 pages. And yes, I read it last night. And yes, I do read very, very fast. It's kind of like some kind of odd skill set that I have. And it's almost bizarre, to be honest with you. I read so fast. Austin will attest to that. And I read through the first 140 or 50 pages of the book, and it was absolutely a waste of time. And about the next 70 or 80 pages, it was pretty interesting because it started talking about the multidimensional universe and what we live in from a quantum mechanics standpoint. And what happened is after about, you know, 4 or 5 pages into the interesting part, I began to realize that this is the New Age doctrine that they teach all of the time, how we become enlightened and we go up in different dimensions and we eventually turn into a piece of quartz, which is really interesting. But what was all, because I don't want to be a piece of quartz. And what's really interesting about that, I thought to myself, you know, it's sad to these people because they understand it. They got the pretty much the dimensional interface right. Top dimension belonged to God. All of the different things. They got a lot of stuff right because, you know, we have a 13th dimensional universe. Actually, we live in a 12th dimensional universe, the 13th dimension being above that, which controls everything. And they did say a few interesting things about it as far as being able to see into the lower dimensions, but not be able to come into those dimensions without some type of energy field assistance, which we all know that's true with what they do with their sacrificial things they do. But also what was interesting is they say if you do certain things, you become higher and higher as far as your energy fields. And they were talking about how the different protons in the energy fields are used in all 13 dimensions and that these protons are actually interdimensional along with our DNA is also interdimensional. Same thing I've told you guys over and over again. But here's the difference that they don't get. They really don't get this. Their whole thing is constantly trying to go higher and higher and higher into this dimensional interface that we live in, this multidimensional universe, this whole realm of quantum mechanics. Here's the thing, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, and the listeners who hear our show all the time. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God Almighty Himself, through the Holy Spirit, connects you into His dimension, giving you a tiny percentage, a tiny portion of His omnipotence, omnipresence, and omniscience, allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you and to guide you, putting Lucifer and all the rest of the dimensions under your feet. They didn't get that, Austin. And the sad part about it is they're trying to lead everybody down this crazy thing of you got to do this, and you got to do this, and you got to stand out and be bombarded with protons and the sunshine. All this nonsense. Oh, they make it so complicated. I've got another friend of mine, German fellow, a German attorney. His name is Gunter. And the boy's been dying of cancer now for like 5 or 6 years. I'll give him credit. He keeps finding alternative treatment protocols that are keeping him alive. And he is completely convinced that he's going to turn into a piece of quartz, a crystal. And the sad part about it is he has – Austin. One day he started explaining to me all of this stuff, and it was so complicated and so bizarre and so weird. I finally said to him, I said, Gunter, why are you making God's plan of salvation so complicated? It's ridiculous what you're doing. It's not that complicated. God put us here on this planet. We know there was a pre-Adamic race. We won't talk about that today. We have all these different ancient structures about all of that. But the place got wiped out, washed out, probably what happened with the fall of Atlantis. We don't know what happened. We don't know the exact time period all this happened in the pre-Adamic race. I'm not going to get into that so you guys can't send me a bunch of emails fussing at me about what I'm saying because I don't know. We can figure that out later when we get to heaven. But God saw what was happening with this, whatever it was, this pre-Adamic race that was here, and it was bad. And a lot of people say the Atlantean culture was here at that point, and we have thousands of pyramids under the Atlantic Ocean, which we've seen off the coast of Cuba. You can look it up online through National Geographic if you want to look at this to verify what I'm telling you. Something was here before we got here. And it all got wiped out. Then God basically was hovering over the waters of the deep, like it says in the Old Testament. Then God made man in His image. We're the only species in the entire universe that's been made in God's image. We're it. Nobody else has been that. Nobody else has had that happen to them before. We are made in the image of Almighty God. And it says that Jesus, in the book of Hebrews, was made in the exact image, the exact representation of God the Father.
and was placed as an embryo into Mary, is what they're inferring. It didn't have Mary's DNA in there. Sorry about that if you guys believe that it was Immaculate Conception, and it does that. The Bible never says that. And that it was the exact DNA of God Almighty. It says that in the book of Hebrews, the exact representation. Now, the reason God did that, because in the Old Testament, things went sideways. I mean, they went sideways really, really bad, because these same Nephilim, these same fallen angels, decided to make a road trip. I'm sorry, but this is why I got to make this so it's entertaining, you guys. The Nephilim decided to do a road trip and come down to the planet. And they thought while they were down here partying and doing their thing, they liked the Earth women. So they decided to have a bunch of sex with these Earth women and have a bunch of baby Nephilim running around, a bunch of giants, talked about this in Genesis chapter 6. And they got their energy field set up through the pyramids and through the doggone magnetic ley lines, and they started doing everything to control the thoughts and the minds of everybody on the planet until everybody was negative and basically sinned and was evil with every thought. Okay? Well, God looks down at this thing and he realizes the road trip went really, really bad, and he's got to clean up the mess. So he decides to go ahead and find somebody who's got some clean DNA. He finds Noah. Noah's DNA was not contaminated with Nephilim DNA, which means he was in the same lineage with Adam. So he wasn't all contaminated. So he says to Noah, he says, here's the thing. Go build a boat. I got to flush the toilet, so to speak. This thing's bad. We got a bunch of giants running around eating people. We got all this crazy stuff happening down here. We got to get rid of the road trip party, your boys. So he flushes the planet. But it says in Genesis chapter 6 that they were there before and after the flood. So apparently they jumped in their own dimensional, whatever they did, I guess floated up into the sky, went through their dimensional wormhole portals with their ships or whatever they had. Who knows? Who cares? And they took off. Some of them were locked up into eternity. And we also know this. We know what the scripture said from thousands of years ago, but we don't know how many other angels have fallen or other entities have gotten involved with all of this road trip stuff. So what happened is it all started over again after the flood, including with Goliath. We see the evidence of the giants and all of these other things. Well, by the time Jesus got here, it was going right back sideways again. Roman people were having the orgies. And if you look at reading the New Testament, Paul keeps saying, hey, guys, quit hanging out at orgies. Quit doing the orgy thing. I've had enough with the orgies. Stop doing orgies. Tell the New Testament church this. Don't do the orgies. See, this is what they were doing. They had gotten back to that same Baal worship, Moloch worship, Druidic worship, Satan worship, fallen angel worship all over again. And God had gotten hacked off at them so many different times, he had killed a bunch of them. And finally, God had enough of this killing everybody. That's how I read it in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, when Jesus was born, God sent his own son, his exact image, and had the angels come out and proclaim peace on earth, goodwill towards men. This thing that Adam and Eve had started, this enmity against God, was over. It was over. So God sent himself for them to believe in, and for those who believe in him shall have eternal life. No longer did he have to do the Old Testament on people, start hacking off heads and everything else, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. It wasn't like that anymore. He'd have to open up huge slits in the earth and cause giant earthquakes and kill people. God didn't want to have to deal with that anymore. He just said, okay, everybody's got freedom of will. You guys want to do this? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send my son. You believe in him. I'm going to connect you to me with the Holy Spirit into my dimension. You're going to live forever here because part of you is already here. And when you die, you're going to come up with me. And you'll be in heaven with me. And that's the plan of salvation. You don't earn it. You didn't earn it. You don't deserve it. But because I love you, because you were my creation and you created my image and you believe in my son, I'm going to allow this to happen and we're going to change everything. And not only that is, I'm going to put my son on a cross to show you how much I care for you guys, how I'm going to allow him to be sacrificed for you guys. And through all eternity, through all time space, because he's omnipresent, the blood that he sacrificed will continually send out a healing frequency to every single person who believes in him to restore your DNA to that of God, to allow you to stay connected to me through the Holy Spirit in my dimension so you'll live forever with me in the house of God in heaven. That's the simple plan of salvation. That's how simple it is. It doesn't have to be a multi-dimensional universe with all these weird aliens and having to turn into a rock or a crystal when you get to the top. It's not that complicated. God made it so it's super easy to understand, and that's who we are as Christians. When we become saved and we become filled with the Holy Spirit, our resonance frequency changes to that of the Holy Spirit. God no longer sees us or our sinful nature. He only sees Christ or himself through us, through the Holy Spirit, and he forgives us, and our sins are forgiven, and they are cast into the sea as far as the east is from the west, and we no longer have to be involved with this whole damnation thing that they were doing in the Old Testament when everybody got hacked off and everybody started killing everybody. We don't have to live like that. God said we're called to love one another, to forgive one another, and to walk in peace as Christians. That's what Christianity is. And if everybody listening right now understood how simple that is and how God shares with you part of His power through the Holy Spirit in His dimension, and you live with Him there for eternity, you don't have to go stand out in the sun and get bombarded with protons. You just have to accept Jesus Christ for who He says He was. That's it. And that's the thing that separates Christianity from all of this nonsense the New World Order teaches and these New Agers teach. They got to, oh my gosh, every time I pick up another thing, oh, we're all going to be elevated, we're all going to the next dimension, we're going to be bombarded with protons next month because the Earth is going to be a certain place in the universe. What a bunch of hogwash. You don't have to pay any attention to any of that stuff. Just remember who Christ was. He is who He says He is. God is who He says He is. He's a creator of everything. All of it is through God, through Christ, through the Holy Spirit, through Jesus' sacrifice, and that's how we're connected, and that's how we're constantly restored. That's why the Satan worshipers hate us, and they get all hair-lifted and mad at us all the time when we start calling on the name of Yeshua, because when Yahweh gave us Yeshua, it changed everything. I remember Gunter was there one day, because he's all into this New Age stuff and these aliens and all this other stuff. We call them angels. And I said to him, I said, look, I said, you believe in alien abductions or fallen angel abductions or extraterrestrial abductions? Oh, of course, of course, of course. And I said, Gunter, I said, here's the deal. I said, do you not know that when you call, if you're in the middle of this alien abduction, when they're experimenting on you like they did in Genesis chapter 6, and basically you call on the name of Yeshua or Jesus, that they have to immediately put you back in your house and they're not allowed to touch you? He goes, well, that's true. I said, so you know that's true? He goes, yes, that's true. And I said, well, dude, I said, think through this for a second. If just the name of Yeshua is that powerful and they have to put you back where they found you and they can't mess with you because they're afraid that Yeshua is going to show up when you call on His name, doesn't that tell you that there's power in the name? And he goes, well, I haven't really thought about that. I said, dude, you need to think about this and quit trying to become a crystal. I said, this is nonsense. What are you trying to do, dude? What do you think? You're a rock? I said, this is nuts. I said, you got cancer. You need to get your heart, your soul, everything right. Because every knee shall bow, Gunter. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, you may not do it in this life, but you're going to do it. And he said, it's a lot easier to do it now. And if you do it, I believe that God will heal you, He'll restore you, and you'll get past this cancer stuff you've got. I really believe that with all of my heart. And guys, he couldn't do it. He couldn't understand his great intellect. My brother Carl, complete alcoholic, read all of this crazy junk back in the 50s and 60s. Nietzsche and all of this weird stuff. You know, God is dead. All this weirdo wacko stuff. Well, Carl has gone Looney Tunes his entire life now. He's been an alcoholic because he has no future, no hope, because he doesn't believe in anything. He's so messed up in the head from what he's read. And I remember my grandfather said to me one time, I said, what the heck is wrong with Carl? And he said to me in German, he said, er hat ihm selbst verrückt gelesen, which means he's read himself insane. See, this is what they tried to do. I think it was King Agrippa with Paul in the New Testament when Paul was witnessing to him. He says, Paul, your great learning has driven you insane. Guys, when you try to teach the simplicity of the gospel to the world and their hearts and their minds have been blinded as if by some type of frequency in the air, it says, that they're basically not able to understand, because if they could, they would turn and he would heal them and they would be received into the throne room, into God's room himself. When they can't see that, it's because they've been twisted, or they have a reprobate mind, or they've been so taught by so many weirdos about this weirdo stuff that they can't see the truth. They can't find the forest for the trees, for heaven's sakes. And my brother Carl is still a nutbag. He's like 75 years old. He's still whacked out. Still a drunk. He never has gotten right in his head because he was never willing to accept the simplicity of the gospel message of Jesus Christ, of what Yahweh did through Yeshua, and how it's so simple to be saved and connected to God with Him for eternity in heaven, which happens to be in that top dimension. Some people say it's the 13th dimension. Some say there's much more than that. It doesn't make any difference. He's given us authority and power over all the lower dimensions. That's why Satan is under our feet. He has no authority over us. That's why they're doing everything they possibly can to destroy Christianity everywhere. They're trying to incorporate a Muslim tradition religion into our country to further water down Christianity. And the sad part about it is that it doesn't work. None of this stuff brings these guys happiness or joy, because it's through the righteousness, peace, and joy from the infilling of the Holy Spirit that everything changes in your life. When I was 23 years old and I got saved back in 1979, it changed my entire life. Everything changed. Now, was I perfect? Absolutely not. Had I been a heathen before I got saved? Absolutely yes. Was I pretty rough to deal with even after I got saved? Absolutely yes. I had to renew my mind. Zig Ziglar helped with that. Everybody helped with that. Let me tell you a story. I'd gotten saved. I'd been saved for about a year. And I was in the gym and I was working out and I was training for Mr. Southeastern America. And I did it all without steroids, super hard, super intense workouts. And I was working out super hard, and I'm talking about Jesus, Yeshua, in the gym. Well, some guy starts mocking me. He starts mocking me in the gym and just starts making fun of me. Now, remember, I'm big. I'm really muscled up. And he looked at me, and he started mocking me. He said, you and your Jesus, blah, blah, blah. And I looked at him and I said, dude, I said, you need to back off me a little bit. I'm not going to really listen to this. You're not going to insult my God and my Savior. And he said something else. And I walked over to him. I'll never forget this, Austin. He was on the incline bench press. And guys, don't do this because it's dangerous. And he had a bar. And I walked up and I grabbed the bar, but it was on the rack. I had not unracked it. And I looked at him. I kind of stood right beside him. I grabbed the bar. And I said, by God, you can laugh at me now. And that's okay. But you won't laugh when you're burning in hell and screaming in fire. I said, that won't be funny to you anymore, will it, Buckwheat? And he looked at me. And Austin, his eyes got as big as saucers. And he said, gosh, dude, you're like nuts. I said, no, I'm not nuts. I'm just saved. And you're not going to insult my God. You're not going to insult my Savior. The following week, Richard Baldwin was the gym owner at that time. He called me into his office. He goes, Ted, I got to talk to you, man. He goes, what's up? I said, well, you know, you're pretty intense. And he goes, now that you've become a Christian, he goes, man, you got all these people scared in here about what's going on as far as they say anything to you or hassle you. And I said, well, I'm not really trying to be scary. He goes, well, you're pretty scary. And I said, well, I'm not trying to do that. I said, but I want you to understand how deeply the passion runs in me, because guys, to whom much has been forgiven, much is required. And guys, I was not a good person when I got saved. I was not. I'd been raised in a bar. I was a bouncer in a bar. I already had a shotgun stuck in my gut when I was 18 years old. I almost got shot when I was 19 years old. I'd gotten stabbed. I mean, I was not a good person. Now, I had a high IQ, and I didn't want to live like that the rest of my life, so I stayed in college, went to school, went to graduate school and everything else, but then I got saved while I was in graduate school, guys. So listen to me. If God can take a little German immigrant boy who was born here in the United States right after the war from a German mom, and he can save him, and he can turn his life around, and he can make him completely and totally sold out to Jesus all of his life. Never backslid, never went back, never did anything I shouldn't have done. Now, I've said a few things and done a few things I shouldn't have done, but never like a great sin or anything, nor have I ever backslidden. But guys, listen to me. He can do the same thing for you right now. So if you're listening right now, and this is a new time you live, this is the first time you've listened to this broadcast, right now either you think I'm totally insane, which that's okay too, I don't really care about that, or you think I'm totally right, one of the two. But guys, listen to me. Jesus Christ, you can accept him right now. Let's pray. Just pray with me if you have never accepted Christ. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I accept your Son as my Savior, my Lord, and my soon coming King. I ask you to forgive me for the sins that I've committed, Lord. I accept your grace and your faith and the fact that Jesus Christ is my Lord and as my God. And I know, Father, Lord, I will now be with you in eternity forever. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Guys, that's all you have to do to get saved. Say that prayer, believe it, and mean it. And it will change your life forever. He empowers you with a sound mind and with energy. And just, I mean, I'm 62 years old today. Today's my birthday, by the way. Maybe that's why I'm so preachy today. Guys, I'm 62 today. Some of you sent me presents. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. I really appreciate all of you guys and how you support us. But guys, listen to me for a second. I take what I do really seriously. When God called me out of that dream, I guess it's going to be 6 years ago this summer, and he spoke to me and basically chewed me out, I want you to know something. It changed my life even more, committed to Christ. And I'm here for you guys, and I'm here to help you, and I'm here to continue to support you and pray for you, all of my listeners. Thank you. All right. Okay. I pontificated long enough, Austin. Okay. That was my little excerpt of the book I read last night. So it's 3:19. What's your first story, Oz?
That was a fantastic birthday sermon, man. I'm very impressed. That was excellent. Well, the first thing I wanted to touch base on, this is a new article, a health article on the continued effects of weight training, as Dad was just talking about, even more beneficial than cardio. We've talked about before, strength training improves longevity and can significantly reduce issues in the future. Now, a new study has come out now and said that actual strength training can help reduce the risk of developing cancer, according to the study published online in the American Journal of Epidemiology. According to the research, this is because strength training exercises, which include weightlifting, push-ups, squats, even if it's with no weight at all, just body weight squats, are more strenuous and demanding compared to the seemingly more attractive aerobic exercises such as running or cycling. They went on to hear the team of researchers at the University of Sydney in Australia pooled data from the Health Survey for England, the Scottish Health Survey, and the NHS Central Mortality Register as part of the study, and enrolled up to 80,306 adults aged 30 years and older. The findings revealed that participants who engaged in strength training activities were up to 23% less likely to die of all causes. Likewise, volunteers who underwent strength training had a 31% reduced risk of cancer-related death. The study shows exercises that promote muscular strength may have a very important aspect on health as far as other than aerobic activities like jogging or cycling, meaning the strength training has better effects on your body, better long-term effects, and better cancer preventative effects than the aerobic activity. And the assumings, they said on here, and assuming our findings reflect cause and effect relationships, it may be even more vital when it comes to reducing the risk of death from cancer. They go on to say just basic exercises like dips, sit-ups, push-ups or lunges in your home or local park can potentially reap the same health benefits if you don't want to go to the gym. Many advantages following just 2 to 3 days a week of 20 to 30 minute strength training exercise sessions per week can be beneficial. And this is what we've talked about before. You don't have to be in the gym 24/7, 365. In fact, it's actually not healthy, in my opinion, and in Dad's as well. We've read multiple studies, and I've personally tried this out in my personal life. When you train with weights much more than about 45 to 50 minutes in length, your cortisol goes up and your natural testosterone goes down. Also, in turn, your stress related to the cortisol goes up. That's why I always recommend people do not work out for longer than about 45 minutes with the weights. And if you're training aggressively and you're training correctly, you honestly don't need to do much more than 20 to 30 minutes if you're training correctly because of the intensity and the aerobic activity you're actually getting from the workout. People say, well, you know, when I go in the gym with weights, I don't do that much. You know, it doesn't really work me out that much. You're not working out correctly. I promise you, if you sit there and just do a superset of, say, dips, pull-ups, push-ups, and walking lunges, 10 reps on each one, that's one set, 4 of them in a row, I guarantee you, you will be worn out and out of breath after you do those, and that will literally be like a 15 to 20 minute workout if you don't take extended breaks, which you do not need to be taking. So I thought that was pretty cool that when I read that article today, that really it's continuing to show here that just a couple days a week of good strenuous weight training really, really has health benefits, and actually now they're showing has cancer preventative properties to it. You couple that with a healthy diet and adding in good antioxidants like alpha lipoic acid, super potent E, cod liver oil, turmeric, you really have a perfect combination for a very healthy long-term lifestyle. It was interesting today. I went and looked at a home. There were a couple different homes we were looking at locally just to go look at them, and I thought one was a model home, and it wasn't. It ended up being a resident was there, but we talked to the guy for a minute, and he let us in and let us walk through the house and let us look at the layout. Real nice guy. And it was funny, before we were leaving, you know, we were kind of talking, and this guy's like, he's overweight, he's out of shape, looks like he's going to get out of breath walking to his garage, but, you know, real nice guy. And so we were kind of got on the topic, and he goes, yeah, I'm 67. And I kind of looked at him for a second, and then I kind of turned away because I didn't want to seem like, you know, I was being rude. But I'm sitting there looking at Dad, who was right beside him, who's 62, and then this guy who's 67, who literally looks like he has a hard time getting up off the couch, white hair, all worn out. And I just looked at it, and I kind of went, that right there is the prime example of weight training on a regular basis with a healthy non-GMO diet with good nutrients, and I can look at him and tell he's not exercising regularly at all, which in turn probably means he's not taking good supplements or eating, because usually all three of those go hand in hand. But I wanted to bring that article up today, Dad, because I thought that was really, really good, and it really kind of added on to what we talk about all the time with weight training.
You know, excellent, thing there, Austin. Back in 76, I won Mr. Tallahassee, and I ended up a week later meeting Boyer Koch, who had won Mr. Universe three or four times. Now, Boyer was a big steroid boy, so I never did steroids, but Boyer did. But he gave me some workout tips when I met him and spoke with him. We actually had dinner at Burns Steakhouse with a group of us the following week. And he told me, he said, you can't be training each body part more than twice a week if you train hard. And he said, your workout shouldn't take between 12 and 15 minutes per body part, period. That's it. And I thought, wow. And so he told me, he said, if you do it that way, you'll keep your cortisol down, you'll massively increase your testosterone, and you'll grow like crazy. And sure enough, I did that. And my chest was about 44 inches at that point, but I was real cut up. And within 6 months, I went from a 44-inch chest to a 48-inch chest with a 31-inch waist with no juice or no steroids. Now, the chest workout he gave me was real intense. If you haven't worked out before, don't do this. This is for advanced only. You do four sets of incline presses with 15 reps each set with the bar, not with dumbbells, but with a bar. You get 15 reps. Have somebody spot you. Then you only rest 30 seconds between sets. And then you superset flies, flat bench flies, with dips, and make sure your dips, when you do the dips, you go all the way down with your elbows over your head, and no rest. 12 to 15 reps again on the flies, 12 to 15 sets on the dips, reps on the dips, and then after you finish those two exercises, now you've only been working out for about 6 minutes, 7-8 minutes. Now you do four sets of crossover cables, not with a Smith machine, but with a crossover cable machine, and you do flies again with that, and you do four more sets of 15 to 20 reps on that, with like 15 reps per set. Your chest blows up, gets unbelievably sore. You don't damage your shoulders. Never do flat benches if you're working out. Never do heavy flat benches. And Boyer told me that, and I did a lot of flat benches when I was younger, and I still have issues with this left shoulder now because of that. Now, the joint rebuilding formula has helped a lot, and the magnesium salts have helped even more as far as getting those spurs out of my shoulder, so I'm still able to train hard. But, guys, just that little exercise, that little trick exercise that I showed you on chest is 12 to 15 minutes twice a week, and I literally stayed sore to the touch on the chest for 6 months when I worked out that way. I mean, it was crazy what happened. So, anyhow, let's get off this topic. Let's do some other stuff. Okay, NSA whistleblower told the CIA director that the DNC leak was an inside job, not the Russian hack. CIA Director Mike Pompeo reportedly met with NSA whistleblower William Binney for an hour at the CIA headquarters on October the 24th at the request of the U.S. President Donald Trump. Binney disputes U.S. intelligence claims over Russia hacking of DNC emails in 2016. By the way, remember, Obama investigated that too, and he said it did not happen. Binney is of the belief that someone with physical access, probably Seth Rich, I'm saying that, inside the Democrat National Committee leaked sensitive information during the 2016 presidential campaign, as opposed to a sophisticated hack by Russia. Trump allegedly told Pompeo that if he wanted to know the facts, he should talk to me. Binney said, as he cited by The Intercept, The Intercept interviewed Binney and at least two additional intelligence sources to the matter for its report. So, guys, this whole thing's a witch hunt. It didn't happen. And quite frankly, Seth Rich, it cost him his life by leaking what he leaked. And that's my opinion, but I think it's pretty well substantiated. So, guys, I want you to know that Trump had nothing to do with any of that. And this guillotine they set up for Trump is going to fall back on these guys and whack a lot of people, because a lot of the Democrats now are going to be found to be in collusion, especially Hillary with this Uranium One deal and what's happening with all of that. So I hope that a lot of people in the Democratic Party, these criminals, these career criminals, go to jail. But I'll say one other thing. I also hope that the Republicans who are involved in this, who are also career criminals, go to jail too. What do you think, Austin?
Oh, as do I, man. I hope and I pray that whoever's involved in this, who's involved in any of this illegal activity, whether it be the collusion as far as with the money laundering, whether it be the pedophilia, I really pray that these guys are exposed. If we could expose the main facets of our government that are involved in this type of legal and just behavior, it would change the entire course of United States history, because we still have a Constitution, we still have a Bill of Rights, and we actually have a president that I still believe has the best interest for the country. I just think he's having a very, very difficult time getting anything done because of how strictly his hands are tied with the deep state, with the CIA, with the aspects of the government that he's involved in right now that are constantly trying to come in and do all this weird stuff and wreak havoc on the American economy and everything else. This is really, really good. And, you know, we'll see what happens and continue to happen with the Federal Reserve. That's another big, you know, question mark as far as how long this is going to go. I got an article today. I thought this was pretty funny for all the people that are still bent on the cryptocurrency Bitcoin wagon. The Bitcoin bubble delusion has become so convincing now to some people that they are now actually believing and screaming that Bitcoin is the new gold and it's better than gold. I've read this multiple places now. They're basically saying this is, and what's funny to me is Bitcoin's been out for all of like, what, 4 or 5 years now? And now all of a sudden it's supposed to completely take over a mined metal that's been used in currency and circulation for literally thousands upon thousands of years. It boggles my mind how just deluded some of these people are. But it's crazy now. Yeah, Bitcoin is nothing more than a virtual shared spreadsheet ledger, essentially, that's subject to all the failings of software, cyber warfare, and even electricity. Now, The Guardian just came out and reported yesterday on how $300 million in Ether currency, which is a cryptocurrency, just vanished due to an accident committed by just one user. They went on to say, a quote, more than $300 million of cryptocurrency has been lost after a series of bugs in a popular digital wallet service led one curious developer to actually accidentally take control of and then lock up the funds, according to the reports of The Guardian. Yes, you read that correctly. Effectively, a user accidentally stole hundreds of wallets simultaneously and then set them on digital fire in a panic while trying to give them back. In effect, this morning, as Ether users woke up and checked their online wallets that they had foolishly believed contained real money, they actually discovered that all their cryptocurrency coins had vanished. Now, the Ethereum community is desperately trying to convince 51% of its users to agree to a backtrack maneuver to reverse the catastrophic mistake, only proving yet again that cryptocurrencies coins are utterly contradict any legitimate definition of a store of value, since they can be created or destroyed at any time by merely groups of users voting them into existence or reversing blockchain transactions that they don't like. Always remember, guys, you cannot destroy gold. Even with the reports I've read as far as with an atomic bomb or an exploding star or some type of nonsense, the gold just dissipates into smaller amounts, even down into molecules that again probably go back into the earth and can be mined again. It doesn't go away. Gold literally cannot be, you can't make it go away unless you can figure out some type of way that nobody else has been able to figure to do so, is to burn it. And it's also the only physical element that we have here that's referred to in the Bible. On top of that, Bitcoin is created via software and can be destroyed instantly. Bitcoin's value is exactly zero when there's no electricity. So when we had that hurricane come through last month, and we had electricity wiped out. Polk City, shoot, they were out of electricity for almost 2 weeks out there. Your Bitcoin wallet, your Bitcoin value would have been every bit of $0.00. That's how much it would have been worth. Completely and totally worthless. Now, we have now gold is universally recognized and it accepted as value in almost every culture on the planet. Every single person pretty much that you ever speak to knows what gold is, knows that it has a very strong value to it, and knows that it's always worth something. Most people buy gold to protect value. That's the main aspect of it, is stored value. Same aspect with silver. You store it. They're both metals that are used industrially, meaning there's always a demand for them. However, most people are buying Bitcoin today as speculating, essentially as a get-rich scheme that, in my opinion, is going to blow up in their faces. Gold doesn't need electricity. Silver doesn't need electricity. Bitcoin can be taken at any given time, and in my opinion, this is going to be the next hairbanger for everybody when the government comes in and deems holding Bitcoin illegal, and you got to transfer in for your IMF cryptocurrency funds that they're going to put a new value on in the New World Order digital currency. That's where all this stuff is headed, guys. So if you're really putting money in Bitcoin, planning on that being your nest egg, I really highly suggest you do some research and some thought into this and make a different approach in the long-term storage savings, because this stuff, after I saw this today where they went in and Ether currency lost $300 million because some Yahoo was going in playing around, this to me boggled my mind and just showed me even more how fragile this currency is, and that absolutely has no reason that it should be a global currency whatsoever. But again, the globalists, the Rothschilds, the New World Order, they are going to push this as they have been so aggressively, because this will be the next aspect. But it shows you how fragile cryptocurrencies are and how easy they will be to manipulate once a central bank tanks them over, Dad.
That's exactly right. That's why the Bible says that we're going to have a cashless society.
Yep.
So it's, and the Bible's very clear. It talks about the gold that Solomon had. It talks about the silver that Solomon had. And then, you know, and these were the stored values of wealth, were the gold and the silver. And the silver was important, but Solomon had so much money that he ended up, you know, basically, you know, keeping the silver outside of the city gates because he couldn't count it all. It was so much. Now, I want to say something to you. This is the other day. This kind of came to me. You know, Solomon was supposedly the wisest guy on the planet, right? But he got all caught up in these foreign gods and these foreign entities and all of this weird idol worship, and was actually sacrificing kids and all the other crazy stuff that he did. Wrote some horrible books. In fact, a lot of people say that Solomon's Book of the Dead, with all these incantations and spells, were written by King Solomon. Then, of course, in his latter years, as we read in the book of Ecclesiastes, he comes back to Yahweh and back to understanding that he had really messed up. But think about this for a second. Doesn't that remind you a lot of the televangelists? A lot of these guys start off really meaning well. They start off with really loving God. They start off with their own churches, and they get bigger and bigger, and more money starts coming in, and they start getting all of these accolades. And that's why the Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs twice that as silver is tested in the crucible and gold is tested in the furnace, again, it's mentioned in gold and silver, that a man is tested by the praise that he or she receives. See, this is what happened with Solomon. Solomon started getting all of these kings, and all these people came to him. They asked his advice. They gave him all this praise, and he went whack bag nuts, and he started doing all kinds of crazy stuff. Now, at the end, he finally realized, when he's about to check out, that he needed to clean this mess up, because he had really done a lot of bad things. Guys, this is the same thing that we see with a lot of TV evangelists today. Now, I'm going to say one more thing. What we all have to understand is this. It doesn't matter what our career profession is. It doesn't matter what we do for a living. It doesn't matter how wealthy some people are or how well-known some people are. You have to understand that no matter what you do, our sole commandment here with the book of Ecclesiastes says to serve God and obey His commandments. This is Old Testament stuff. Of course, now we know we need to walk in love and accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But guys, listen to me for a second. It's so important. I was on, years ago, I was on TBN. I shouldn't have said that, but I was. I've been on that show many times, on the Praise the Lord show. I don't think it's on the air anymore. And that's a real strange group of people out there in California, very strange. And they asked me to give them my favorite scripture. And I quoted that verse out of Proverbs. As silver is tested in the crucible and gold is tested in the furnace, a man is tested by the praise that he receives. And we need to all be careful of not allowing ourselves to be filled to come with pride and learning and forgetting where and who we are through Christ Jesus. And, of course, I was never, and I'm going to repeat that, I was never asked to be back on that show again, because some of the chief principals of that network constantly watched the verses and the scriptures that we quoted, because, quite frankly, I've seen people drunk on the platform there. I've seen people. I'm going to stop. I'm not going to keep going. I'm not going to do that. But I've seen some crazy stuff that I've seen. Now, guys, here's all I can say is this. Always remember, we all put our pants on one leg at a time. We all have to bend down to tie our shoes. And all of us, by the grace of God, would be in a miserable, miserable situation, even on this planet. So thank God every single day. And remember to always put Him first in your life. That's so important. By the way, this is exclusive. The Los Angeles Police Department are now confirming they are investigating Hollywood pedophile rings after Corey Feldman files formal report. Wow.
Whoa.
The LPD will begin an official investigation now, and things are heating up. We got to pray for his safety. This is from the Daily Mail. The Los Angeles Police Department is investigating. I'm going to paraphrase this, okay? This is by Ted. The Los Angeles Police Department is investigating a satanic underground network of pedophiles and human sacrificial networks that were first uncovered by Ted Gunderson. That's how we need to start this off. Now, the actual article says, Police Department is investigating a rumored Hollywood pedophile ring after Corey Feldman filed a formal police report identifying the men that he claims sexually abused him as a child. Guys, this is absolutely nuts that this is going on, that this has been going on, that it's continuing to go on, and it's all through that stupid druid worship that they do that Aleister Crowley dragged back out 100 years ago, in which he started sodomizing all these children, and he admitted to sacrificing children in his rituals. I mean, to the death, drinking their blood. I mean, these are a bunch of sicko perverts, and personally, if these people are caught doing this stuff, I mean physically caught doing it, I think they shouldn't even receive a trial. They should just be mowed down with machine gun while they're in the process of the satanic worship. Period. Done, finished, kaput, over with. There is absolutely no excuse for human beings to be able to get away with sacrificing other human beings to Moloch or to whatever they these weird Old Testament gods, all this druidic worship, all to feed these interdimensional entities their life force and these light photons. Guys, it sickens me, and I cannot stand it when stuff like this happens, and I've been talking about it for years and years, and I am so glad that Ted Gunderson is now finally being heard even from the grave. Austin, what do you think?
Yeah, that's intense, man. If he really went and filed that, now what he needs to do is he needs to get on YouTube and every social media outlet and blast out there who these guys are. That needs to happen immediately, because there's a very, very high probability that certain aspects, maybe even small aspects, of the Los Angeles Police Department are involved with the Hollywood pedophile ring. If not involved in it, they're blatantly going out of their way to protect it. You have to remember, these guys out in Hollywood, most of them, they're multi-billionaires. If they got to throw a police officer $50,000, $100,000 in cash to keep quiet, that's joke money. That's blowaway money. They'll spend that in the casino on one night and not even bat an eyelash. They're willing to keep these guys quiet. They'll give them anything they want. So there's a very strong possibility there's facets of the LAPD that are compromised. I don't doubt that at all. So he needs to get out there on social media, on YouTube, on Twitter, all these ones on there, and he needs to tell his story on as quickly as possible and get this out if he really is filing a police report, because they are going to go after him immediately. Because once this goes viral, the first thing that happens, if they find this to be true and they actually pick up these guys and issue a warrant for them and it goes to court, he's going to go to court with these guys. They're going to put him on the stand. They don't want that to happen. These guys are not going to allow that to happen. They're going to do everything in their power to stop this. So he needs to really make sure that he's going out of his way right now to keep security tight, to make sure he knows where he's going, and to get this in every aspect of social media's hands so we all can find out who these guys are and expose them and repost it and get this stuff out in the mainstream media so these sickos have no place to hide, because these guys do not deserve to, A, be in the spotlight of anything, much less even be in a free society and outside of incarceration for this type of behavior that they've been doing. And his dad said, I'm the same way. I'm totally for the death penalty in these instances where if these guys are actually caught and involved with this type of weird behavior, I don't have a bit of problem with that whatsoever, Dad. So, man, I really hope he can stay safe. We got to be praying for him right now, because if he can really blow the lid off this thing and these guys get busted, that would be incredible, man.
Wow, you're absolutely right. Oh, by the way, Madagascar, this is getting worse, by the way, Madagascar. Now they're saying it's the worst outbreak in over 50 years. It's saying that the cases have increased by 8% just the last week, with nearly 2,000 people now infected with the plague, with a horrible, like up to 90% death rates. I mean, this is absolutely awful what's going on with this bubonic death plague that's been weaponized by our boys at Fort Detrick or somebody else. I mean, this is the airborne bubonic plague that can be spread by coughing, sneezing, and spitting. I mean, this is probably something they resurrected from the dead, from the doggone ice fields out of Norway, and they're looking for plague victims. Guys, this is awful. Get our healthy immune system protocol. Take your D3. Your potassium iodide every single day. You gotta keep strong with your immune system, because if you don't,
when they start dumping this stuff on us, you know, for real, if they start doing all of this stuff, guys, it's not okay, and we have to stay as healthy as we possibly can every single day of our life. If you're not going to do that, at least take vitamin C on a regular basis, because the vitamin C is so, so very important that you take that every single day. Every morning I get up and take vitamin C first thing in the morning, and it really keeps my immune systems frosty. By the way, another article has just come out on statin drugs again. Now they've been linked to arthritis. Gosh, this list goes on and on and on, and heart trouble, and more, and hardening of the arteries. It continues to be like this giant albatross of what these things do to people and how damaging they are to people with these different types of conditions. Also, they've been all, now they're also being linked to lupus-like symptoms and myopathy. All these crazy things, all linked to statin drugs. Guys, listen to me. If your cholesterol is under 250, it's fine. Don't be worried or be concerned about getting your cholesterol under 200. That's my opinion. All you're going to do is lower your own testosterone, and you're probably going to have to take statin drugs to get it down that low, and your testosterone will drop to the floor. Your libido will drop to the floor. Your fertility will drop through the floor. I spoke to another couple. Actually, it wasn't a couple. It was their aunt today, who basically had to adopt a baby because the man has absolutely like a zero sperm count with no motility. And I told her, I said, you know, before you guys start doing all this crazy stuff and adopting kids, which I'm glad they could do that, I said, why don't you go on the alpha male stack, or have your nephew go on the alpha male stack? Because at least that way we'll know we'll increase sperm motility and sperm count, and maybe this young lady can get pregnant. So guys, listen to me for a second. They're doing everything they can from a physiological standpoint, from a medical standpoint, to render as many people as they possibly can sterile right now globally, including in the United States. What do you think, Oz?
Oh, there's no question about it. That's been one of the huge aspects of the vaccines. And even now, we're finding out more and more that they don't even work. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I talked about the article that came out that was proven that flu shots sharply weaken the immune system in subsequent years following immunization. So they actually make it easier for you to get sick just in general. It didn't even work beforehand. Now they're turning around now in a new study conducted by Scripps Research Institute and published in the science journal PLOS blows the lid again on exactly why flu shots are one of the greatest medical hoaxes in history. The article titled A Structural Explanation for the Low Effectiveness of the Seasonal Influenza H3N2 Vaccine. The research paper concludes that the very method of modern flu vaccine production causes viral strains to mutate to non-effective structures that do not confer the immunity being routinely claimed for the flu vaccine. In other words, it renders certain influenza viral strains nearly useless. And then if you tie that in a couple weeks ago with the article that came out, it shows you that they're proven that the flu shots weaken your immune system in following years of getting the immunization. So not only does it not work to stop and actually prevent you from getting the flu, it makes your immune system more compromised in the future. And then it went on to say here, despite the first commercialized influenza vaccine being approved in the U.S. more than 70 years ago, complete and broad protection from influenza vaccine has remained out of reach. Furthermore, in the past decade, the effectiveness of the seasonal vaccine against H3N2 viruses has been particularly low. Again, showing that these things don't work at all, which we already knew, but now there's this stuff coming out and actually saying it. Now, there's an article that John Rappaport put out 2 days ago that was really interesting, because I remember I actually talked about this article back in 2015 and have heard very little fanfare about this topic, and it kind of jogged my memory when I saw this new article that he put out discussing the 2015 article. The reference was in the New York Times from March 15th, 2015, and the article was titled Protection Without a Vaccine. It describes the frontier of research and the key quotes that illustrate the use of synthetic genes to protect against disease while changing the genetic makeup of humans. This was not science fiction. This is a real article from over 2 years ago. I quote, it says, by delivering synthetic genes into the muscles of experimental monkeys, the scientists are essentially re-engineering the animals to resist disease. The sky's the limit, said Michael Franzo, the immunologist at Scripps and lead author of the new study. He goes on to say, the first human trial based on this strategy, called IGT, is underway and several new ones are planned. guys, this was over 2 years ago when this article was released. And then the punchline, it says here, and I quote, "The viruses invade human cells with their DNA payloads, and the synthetic gene is incorporated into the recipient's own DNA. If all goes well, the new genes instruct the cells to begin manufacturing powerful antibodies." Read that again. Listen to this. "The synthetic gene is incorporated into the recipient's own DNA. It doesn't just visit. It doesn't just slightly alter. It incorporates into the recipient's own DNA. And once a person's DNA is changed, doesn't it follow that he or she will pass that change to the next generation of child and so on down the line?" This is where we're headed with these vaccines now, guys. This was 2 years ago. 2 years ago. Yeah, that's exactly what we talked about before. They want to change the DNA. And the problem is, we already know they put aborted fetal tissue cells in vaccines. We already know they put thimerosal. We already know they put aluminum in levels unbelievably higher than the EPA even allows in any other compound.
Well, no, it's awful. Remember, most scientific research, including this research, okay, they're telling us one thing was for something else. Most scientific research of Western medicine is untrustful and fraudulent. I mean, this is an article by Freeman, and it says that fraudulent scientific research is rife throughout the world due to the power of monetary influence wielded by Big Pharma, by the way, owned by the Rothschilds. The giant cartel of multinational pharmaceutical corporations owned by the Rothschilds, started over 100 years ago by the Rockefellers, owned by the Rothschilds. This fraudulent scientific research is now so widespread and pervasive, it becomes an open secret. There's a long list of medical journals, doctors, and professors on the outside, former Big Pharma employees and executives on the inside, as well as government officials somewhere in between, who have stepped forward as whistleblowers and acknowledged the fraud. Money buys favorable research, period. This is not really surprising given the history of the Rockefeller, owned by the Rothschilds, who were Satanists, Western medicine, and the fact that Big Pharma business model is based on managing disease, treating symptoms, and keeping patients on the hamster wheel rather than actually healing them completely. Here is a quote by Dr. Peter Roust, former vice president of Pfizer, a giant Big Pharma company owned by the Rothschilds, spelled it out in this video clip that they're taking on this video right now. It's called Dr. Peter Roust Influencing the Medical Establishment. Here's his quote. "Universities, health organizations, everybody that I have encountered are out there begging for money. Big Pharma corporations use that money to basically buy influence for the Rothschilds, grants, I'm adding that, for various kinds of research, make sure they, the scientific researchers, become beholden. Everyone knows this, and this is how things work. They, the scientific researchers, are not going to continue to get money unless they're what? Saying what the Big Pharma want them to say. They know it, you know it, and only maybe the public who doesn't know it. The case against science is straightforward. Much of the scientific literature, perhaps half, may simply be untrue, afflicted by studies with small sample sizes, tiny effects, invalid exploratory analysis, and flagrant conflicts of interests." It goes on to say that a book that Angela Merkel wrote, and she says this, "It is simply no longer possible to believe much of the clinical research that is published or to rely on the judgment of trusted physicians or authoritative medical guidelines." She goes on to say, "I take no pleasure in this conclusion, which I have reached slowly and reluctantly over my two decades as an editor of the New England Journal of Medicine." How in the world can you not get this, what I just said, after this is all over the internet, that these guys are a bunch of scammers, they're a bunch of liars, they're a bunch of thieves, and they're all owned by the stinking Rockefeller Foundation, that are owned by Big Pharma, that are owned by the doggone Sabbatean, Kabbalist, Luciferian, low-life, human-sacrificing, blood-drinking, fallen angel bloodline garbage people. That's who these guys are. It's unbelievable when you stop and you look about it. That's why, unless you look at Genesis chapter 6, none of this nutty stuff makes any sense. None of it makes sense, because you cannot believe that these people are this evil. Why? When they have this DNA of the Nephilim in them, this emotional response of having caring and love for another human being is gone. They become the sociopaths and the psychopaths. They don't care what they do, as long as they have power and they have money. They don't care who they kill, who they sacrifice. Because remember,
all of these people are being sacrificed on the altar of Big Pharma with statin drugs, with tricyclic antidepressants, with serotonin reuptake inhibitors, with all these other chemicals they're put into their diet, with all of the fluoride they're being given. They know exactly what they're doing, and it ties right back together with Austin's article. They're trying to use epigenetics to change the DNA of the future generations to become something else. And all of these autistic kids, they're going to all be vessels, as far as I'm concerned, for some demonic interface, because they want all of these children to be basically not have the ability to resist when something tries to come in them from a demonic standpoint. Crazy stuff, crazy, crazy, crazy stuff. Guys, thank you for listening to me on my birthday, 62 years of age, starting my 63rd year as of today. Thank you for all your prayers. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thank you for listening every day. Gosh, just thank you for being here for us and just praying for us and just supporting Health Masters and supporting us and just telling your friends about the show. God bless you. Austin, go ahead and finish it up. I'll do the write-up. See, talk to you guys tomorrow.
Absolutely, bud. We appreciate it. That's crazy now also, too, speaking of insurance and stuff earlier, the single-payer British health system now may actually start rationing who gets surgeries because of a lack of funding. This is what's happened now over there with all the people that are on the healthcare system with nobody paying in nearly enough to subsidize the massive of people at the bottom with the small deductibles. And this is what, or the small premiums. This is what happened with the United States. Nobody understood it was going to continue to happen here unless we can get a handle on this stupid healthcare act. I know after the next child we have in January, Lana, well, I don't carry health insurance and nor do I pay the fine. Lana will be dropping Humana, though, after they've been such a nightmare this year and so overpriced. And I think we're going to do a Christian share system, as far as that I've seen before online. I've talked to a couple people about it. I've been a little skeptical about it, but the actual cost of it is so much lower, and it seems like they still give you pretty good help if you need it in an emergency, because that's really all it's for, is for her and the kids in an emergency or for the next pregnancy after this one. So it's definitely something that I'm probably going to be doing next with her, just because it's ridiculous. I mean, you know, $500-$600 a month premiums with multi-$1,000 deductibles, and they still don't want to cover big stuff. It's completely out of line, and that's what's going on with it. But guys, I appreciate the support. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for all the stuff you continue to send us, all the positive emails. They are great. You can check us out at healthmasters.com as always. Check out all the kits and specials we have on there on sale right now, including the Maximum Energy Kit, which has been a very, very popular kit. We've got a lot more inventory coming in this week, so we're getting all the orders out and caught back up. We got a little behind over the weekend, so all that will be going out. So you guys, if you're waiting on your order a day or two longer, you should have it by the end of this week. So we appreciate your patience. Thank you for your support. If you need anything, call us 1-800-726-1834. You guys have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.